So we can start with the first question. The international community had serious expectations from the talks held in Switzerland on the settlement of the Cyprus issue. Which were the main reasons for the failure of the negotiations, according to you?
Well, first of all, let me make it clear that it's not the whole negotiation process which has crashed, let's say, but it is that particular negotiations on the territorial aspects of the Cyprus problem which got failed in Mont Pelerin in Switzerland. I would say that the main reason why it failed is due to the lack of clear political will on the leadership to make the final crucial decisions on the Cyprus issue. What I mean by that is we are at a point in the Cyprus problem where the two leaders are required to take courageous, sort of bold action in terms of give and take process. And it seems like, you know, there is lack of that political will or political courage on the leadership to take the next step because, you know, taking that step would mean taking the Cyprus issue to the end game as it is used by the United Nations, the end game, meaning the final phase of the Cyprus problem where there will be what we call the guarantor powers coming to resolve the last issue, which is the security and guarantees. What I mean by that is United Kingdom, Turkey and Greece coming together as guarantor powers and solving the remaining issue. So what the leaders have been doing so far is trying to solve the internal aspects of the Cyprus problem, and they have made a lot of what is known as convergences, meaning agreements on most of the issues. And there are a couple of issues left. Those are crucial, but it needs a give-and-take process that the leaders have to engage. For example, the Turkish Cypriot leader will give part of the territory to Greek Cypriots, and in return, the Greek Cypriot will accept political equality of the Turkish Cypriot side. So that kind of give and take, I say, between different issues or between different dossiers of the Cyprus negotiations.
So if we refer to this moment, how that moment, this moment of negotiation was different from the whole process, and why in this case success seemed so near?
Because so far I think the two leaders in Cyprus have taken a lot of steps to towards progress. On all issues, almost all issues. They have discussed almost all issues, which was not the case before because security and guarantees and territorial issues were not really discussed that much in the past. The other difference from the previous negotiations is that this time it has been a truly Cypriot process, leaders-led Cypriot process, meaning that you do not have external actors other than Turkish and Greek Cypriots who have been involved in the Cyprus negotiations directly. So it's whatever they produced, all these convergences, agreements, and whatever you call them, they have been produced by two leaders. Even the statements are endorsed by them from the comma to the full stop. So the UN's involvement, for example, is minimal. The UN good office in Cyprus is just facilitating the talks between the two sides. They're not imposing anything, unlike you know, in the past, where, for example, in 2004, the UN played the role of arbitrator, where it filled the gaps that the two sides could not fill.
Mm-hmm.
This has not been the case this time. So it's for the first time, in a way, the Greek and Turkish Cypriots cannot blame any outsiders.
Mm-hmm. And the final question, what do you think? Will the sides be able to find ways of coming out of this deadlock? And what are the preconditions for that?
I think the preconditions, let me start with the last question, is the preconditions is to start the dialogue again without any preconditions.
Mm-hmm.
Because if the two sides insist on preconditions, mm-hmm. They cannot really go back to the negotiation table.
Mm-hmm.
So, but of course, besides despite there shouldn't be any preconditions, there should be a new roadmap.
Mm-hmm.
The leaders should not just engage in endless negotiations without time frames or without a roadmap. The two leaders should get engaged again and agree first on a roadmap that will have what steps they are going to take in the future, and that will take them to the end game.
Mm-hmm.
So there should be a clear roadmap that they should adopt before they get engaged into substantive negotiations. Now, the first part of your question,
mm-hmm.
I think that everybody, including the Turkish Cypriots, Greek Cypriots, the United Nations Good Office, who are facilitating the negotiations, they have invested so much time and so much energy and so much effort in the last 18 months when this round of negotiations started. So it is purely idiotic, it is purely foolish to let this this much effort and this much progress to be flushed down the toilet,
mm-hmm.
be flushed down the drain. So I think that what we need is the two leaders to come into their senses, and the two motherlands, that's Greece and Turkey, as the guarantor powers, to also engage in communication between the two of them and encourage the Turkish Cypriots and Greek Cypriot leaderships to come to a process where it will lead to an end game.
Mm-hmm. So thank you very much for the interview.
No problem.